From the dawn of time, man has collected and shared stories. Many of those stories are inspirational. Some are haunting. And many of them are downright kooky. Welcome to Kooky Tales, a show where Rob and Susan discuss stories ranging from the supernatural to the downright bizarre and everything in between. Whether you prefer the dance macabre or doing the funky chicken, join us as we decide if these tales are spooky, full of dookie, or just downright kooky, here on Kooky Tales.
Are those real? I'm going to order you some from Zini that look like that.
I got them from Greece. Pretty sneaky, Riz. Still do it. Oh my God. Like them?
I mean, they're kind of small.
They're my podcast glasses.
What?
Yes. So now, because it makes me look smarter. I'm a professor of kooky tales.
Okay.
All right. I guess I should mention this. Someone mentioned last week there was a drop in the audio towards the end of the podcast, and that is because somebody forgot to charge the microphones and the receivers. So we have a backup audio source, but the backup audio source wasn't really properly configured either. So two fails, which some people might say is a technical product of doing a podcast, and some people might say that it was forces involved with the shadow government that are sent here to silence us, which is part of what we'll be talking about on this episode. What are you already drawing?
Yeah.
So before we get started, let me say this. A lot of you have sent in emails. I got an email that said they had one of our listeners said they have the same drawing skills as you.
God love them.
And that they wanted to congratulate you on your artwork. And can I see the old system?
The old system.
So this is the old system. A whiteboard that I have normally in my office. By the way, on my normal podcast, if you sign up on Patreon, which this is not a plug for, I write people's names and I greet them and I take pictures. So that's why I have this. And can I have the marker? Oh, you're using the dry erase marker for this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know how that worked. Susan has said this is old school technology, and she has brought out, what is this thing called?
This thing is called a rocket book, and I got it from my boss, and it's just a little, like, spiral bound book, but each one of the pages is, I ruined it. Now you can see it. Each one of the pages is like a dry erase surface, and then it has a QR code at the bottom. So I can actually hold this up to my Rocketbook app on my phone, and it dumps it into my phone immediately. Like it automatically not only like saves the picture, but then it'll email it out or put it in my Dropbox. It like has a what if then type.
So how does it get the picture into the computer?
I have a Dropbox app. I mean, I have a Rocketbook.
How does it physically take what you draw and put that into a computer?
I take a picture of it with the Rocketbook app. It picks up this QR code and knows to dump it in the app. Uh-huh. But then it also, I have a workflow built in. So when I scan in something, it will email it to me and it'll put it in the Dropbox automatically.
When you take a picture with your phone, so the artwork is an actual like iPhone picture.
It'll turn it into a picture or a PDF or whatever.
Okay.
I told it to.
It's not scanning something magically.
No, it just, okay. But see, and what you probably can't see is that there are tiny little bitty tiny grid lines in there that don't get picked up whenever you scan it in the Rocketbook app. See?
Yeah, they're hard to see. And you drew a monkey wearing something? What is this?
That's you. In your new glasses. I know it looks a lot like you're wearing a turban, but that's really your baseball cap backwards.
It does kind of look like
also, this is less reflective, so it looks better on the screen.
All right.
I see.
So we'll go with that. Now, is that actually a whiteboard or is that paper?
Yeah, it's a little whiteboard.
Oh, okay. So you erase it. It's reusable.
Yeah, but also it has 9 zillion pages in it, so I can save everything. And that anybody would like to buy one of these products that I'm putting on Zazzle, I'll put them all on there, and you can make anything you want out of them.
All right. I'm also putting the drawings on Instagram. So if you're not following the Instagram page, not like close up ones, you know. These are copyrighted.
copyright. Oh yeah, I should put a big fat copyright symbol on there. Anyway, yeah. That's you.
What did you bring us to drink today?
Well, I'm afraid.
It seems like a lot of what
it does, and I'm afraid that we're going to get food poisoning. I'm not going to lie. So this is mezcal that we bought in Mexico, and this I think it's either coffee cream or chocolate cream. It's not labeled correctly, but I just took a sip of it, and I'm like, yeah, we're going to be in the hospital before this is over.
Why?
So taste it.
I will. Can I see that bottle for a second?
Yeah.
I want to just tell a quick story. I bought this bottle specifically to mail to some friends of mine, the Airstreamers, who do a gaming stream on Twitch. And I bought this in Mexico because they do a tasting thing on their show. And when I brought it home, I went to mail it to them, and I found out that mailing alcohol is a felony. I don't know if you knew that, but I found out, and was in fact, it was explained to me in great detail that you cannot mail alcohol. And so it went back on the shelf, so now we're drinking it. And so
Something is not right with it. I'm just telling you, like, I don't think you should have to chew your drink.
Oh, something.
Well, that's the ice. I put the ice in the freezer out here in the movie theater.
Because... I was like, there's a chunk of something.
Oh, there's chunks. It's just something's not right.
Oh. No, that's not what it's supposed to taste like.
We're going to get food poisoning. I don't think we should drink that anymore. Quit. No, quit. You're going to...
Is there milk in it?
It's got cream. It's a cream-based drink. And so...
It's not like they made it right there at the port. We went on a cruise. It's not like they made it right then and then put it in a bottle. I'm sure it stays in a bottle for a long time. I will tell you something's wrong with it.
Well, don't drink any more of it.
Can't stop.
Because this podcast will end in diarrhea. Diarrhea.
All right. We're going to have diarrhea. Don't draw that.
I already drew that last week.
Yeah. So today's kooky tale, you requested a UFO related tale. And this is not just any UFO related tale. It's possibly the first modern UFO tale. And it's a very significant case. Hmm. We're going to talk about the case. Then we're going to talk about, and not the case, we're going to call it the incident. It is known as the Maury Island incident. We're going to talk about the incident, and we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to talk about the investigation behind the incident, which involved the Air Force, the FBI,
ooh,
J. Edgar Hoover. It was a big deal. People died because of this case, and this case is the first known appearance of what is known as the Men in Black.
Oh.
This is where the Men in Black come from.
How do I not know about this?
Because I am the master of kooky tales because of these glasses.
I'm surprised they don't have those prisms in them.
They don't. What is that the same drawing?
It is.
Why did you show it twice?
The glasses.
Oh, I see.
All right.
They're great.
Also, just one other thing.
Yes?
This stuff is not erasing off of my rocket book.
Are you using the dry erase marker?
I am, but this may be my permanent rocket book now. Okay, it's
Wait,
okay.
What marker are you using?
Well, this came with the rocket book, and these are dry erase markers.
Yeah, this is my dry erase marker that we used on the dry erase board.
All right, well, we'll figure it out later. Let's just keep...
Does that one erasing off of it?
Yes.
Oh, but my face is permanently...
We will proceed. I'll use...
Does that one not work?
It's just so fine. It's okay. I got it. We may just have a permanent memory of today's podcast.
If you'd like to donate a rocket book to the show, let's get started. We're putting off this kooky tale. This mm-hmm. is a good one. It involves a man, his son, and their dog, and a boat. Four things need for a good tale. This happened on June 27th, 1947, or possibly June 21st, 1947. That's very, very significant. Those two dates are very significant, and it's very important 6-day difference that I will explain to you why it's different.
Okay.
But originally, this was supposed to have happened on June 21st, 1947. The man's name was Harold Dahl. He's from Tacoma, Washington, and he was out on his boat with his 15-year-old son, Charles Dahl.
Mm-hmm.
This was in the Puget Sound in Washington, on the East Bay. There's a small area called Maury Island. I don't remember my whiteboard making that many noises while I was doing a show. Is this the boat? I'll show you a picture of the boat here in a minute.
No, don't show me.
So they were out, he was a conservationist, and what they were doing was they were out on their boat and they were picking up spare pieces of wood, that had floated up near the shore. So that's what they were out doing. And while they were out doing that, Harold looked up and saw 6 donut-shaped flying vehicles. He did not know what these things were. They were flying. He said they were hovering about 1,500 feet over their boat. And as he watched these 6 flying vehicles, they didn't have the word flying saucer just yet. They would within a week. While he was watching these 6 donut, what do you got there? Oh, there's the boat. Yeah, that's not bad.
That's logs floating in the water.
Yeah.
You know?
What's better than bad? It's good. Everyone loves a log.
Oh, no.
I will show you here if you want to check out the monitor. This is the boat.
Oh, it doesn't look anything like my boat.
Not at all. It's not a sailboat. It was a slightly larger boat. But
all right.
That's Harold Dahl's boat. Him and his son are out there. They're picking up logs. They look up and they see 6 vehicles flying overhead. One of the vehicles begins to have trouble flying. Becomes unsteady. It's wobbling. And it ejects a bunch of scrap metal. He described it looking like newspapers, like 1,000 newspapers, but the sheets were metal. They were flittering down, but all this debris came down and hit his boat.
Oh.
Not only did it hit his boat, it broke his son's arm and killed their dog.
No way.
Yes. So this UFO dumps all this metal on them. So the UFO is unstable, wobbly, but it dumps all this stuff out, and then it stabilizes, and then they fly away.
So it jettisoned all this crap so that it could fly away.
It jettisoned what they later believe may have been remains from a nuclear plant. They think it was picking up something to study. Okay? So, you know, they go back, and he basically goes back to his boss, And it says that Dahl had a camera and took a picture of this event. Okay. He goes back to talk to his boss, and he, oh, is that raining down?
It's raining blood.
That's,
sorry.
That's a good reference. I will give you that reference. Can I show you a picture real quick?
Yeah, wait, show mine one more time so everybody can get that. Get the context. So there's the boat. There's a dead dog laying on the boat here. See, yeah. Dead dog. There is the donut-shaped item, and it's jettisoning all of the stuff.
Death by donut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hey.
This is an artist's conception of what happened.
Hey!
It's not bad compared to your picture. I mean, it's pretty close. You did pretty good on that one.
Yeah, okay.
You kind of nailed it. Show yours one more time. I'm going to hold this up. This, I mean, that's a...
reading stuff.
Yeah, like jelly donuts that have exploded. So he took a picture of this event, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is he goes home, probably to the doctor or the kid with a broken arm, I don't know. And he tells his boss about it, and the boss is like, I don't think that probably happened, Harold. He's not believed by his boss, okay? And so the next morning, he's at home, Harold Dahl's at home, and a man shows up at his house wearing a black suit.
Ah.
And parked outside is a brand new black Buick.
Mm.
This would be 1947, so a 47 Buick. And he says, I'd like to ask you some questions about what happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to go to the local diner and have breakfast? So they did. The man drove his car, the man in black,
mm-hmm.
drove his car to the diner. Harold followed him mm-hmm. into town. When they got there, Harold was prepared to answer a bunch of questions about right. the incident.
Like tell the whole story and all mm-hmm. that?
Yeah. But the man didn't ask him any questions.
He just intimidated him with his mind?
No. He recounted the entire event in every detail to Harold. He told Harold what was there. He told Harold what happened. He explained. He told Harold his own story in every detail.
How did he know?
Well, that's a good question. Here's a quote, a direct quote from Harold that he said the man in black said to him in the diner. Quote, what I have said is proof to you that I know a great deal more about this experience of yours than you want to believe. Then he said, Dahl is not to speak of the event again, and if he did, bad things would happen to him and his family.
Here come the men in black.
You know, we've come a long way from this event to the men in black, but that is why that movie exists.
Right.
Is because...
Boop. Won't let you remember.
There's a copyright strike. Susan doesn't understand what happens on YouTube yet, but we'll...
Although,
normally it only blocks you if it recognizes the tune, and I think we're safe.
Yeah! Yeah!
Okay, so anyway, basically, he tells him, shut your pie hole, don't ever talk about this again, right? Now, Harold goes to his boss and says, this is what happened, all these things, and he says, but I have this picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the picture became foggy after the visit with the man in black. They said maybe there's something wrong with the negatives or with the picture. They don't really know. But the picture...
Did the man in black see the picture?
Not that we know.
So we don't think he sprayed something on it or...
Right, right. Yeah, we don't know. Harold's boss does not believe him. And Harold's boss goes out to the same place. Harold's boss, while he is standing there, sees a flying craft of his own.
Ah.
It shows up. He said it's as if they were monitoring that place. When he showed up, a flying craft shows up, and he goes back, and the boss says, I do believe. Okay? Now, here's why the date that this happened is so important. You may have heard of another flying saucer incident that was witnessed by a man named Kenneth Arnold. Kenneth Arnold was flying over Mount Rainier in his plane, also in Washington, and reported 9 saucer-shaped flying objects. They didn't have a term for this. He was interviewed by a reporter, and the term that came out of this was flying saucers. That's what was in the headline, and that is where the term flying saucers comes from.
Well, what do you know?
Okay.
This is the boss. That's the saucer, and he says, I believe.
I'm not sure that's a Washington accent. That might be Arkansas.
It could be, yeah.
But
by golly, I believe.
Same accent.
All right, there you go.
So why is the date important? The date is important because Kenneth Arnold's sighting of flying saucers, which is the first modern flying saucer event, and where we get the term flying saucers from, happened on June 24th, 1947.
So okay, we were getting attacked or something by many, and they were first, but it just wasn't publicized.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
When Howard Dahl reported all this, it was June 27th, which is 3 days after
Kenneth Arnold.
But then he said it happened on June 21st, which would have been 3 days before Kenneth Arnold. So if it happens before, then these two things are kind of unrelated, right? But if it happens after, it's possible that he's influenced by Kenneth Arnold's story.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
So that's kind of where we're at in this, right? Also, the following month, actually 2 weeks later, I think I said June, but this is actually July. In August of 1947 is the Roswell crash. So this is all like within 2 to 3 weeks. You have Kenneth Arnold's sighting. You have Howard Dahl's being hit by scrap metal that falls out of a UFO. And you have the Roswell crash. I mean, it's all right there. It's within a month. Right?
Did he save any of the scrap metal?
He did save some of the scrap metal. And we're going to get to what happened to that very shortly. Also, he said that there was also some strange lava-like rock that also fell out, and they collected some of that as well. Okay. All right? So, I'm going to take a break in the story before we get into the full-on investigation. But what do you think so far? Where are you at?
I'm here with it. I mean, I think...
Let's drink to that.
I'm not drinking that. Sorry. Don't. I mean, I think that, first of all...
It tastes like...
What's about to be vomit.
It's like if you put sour grape juice in Kool-Aid with bad milk. I'm glad I didn't mail it to anybody.
The functional part being the bad milk.
Ay, ay, ay. It's not good. There's something wrong with that.
All right. So Roswell, Washington. Where was Kenneth Arnold?
Washington. Those two events happened 2 hours away. Kenneth Arnold was flying over Mount Rainier in Washington, which we have been to because of that incident. And this happened in the Puget Sound in Washington, right near Tacoma.
This is what I think. I think that this is, being a map of the United States, highly accurate, that probably the entire...
Wait a minute.
There's Florida. Just put your eye on Florida and the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Texas coming to a sharp point that'll poke your eye out.
Right. That, I mean, I do think it's very selfish to think that in a universe full of all kinds of galaxies and places we haven't explored, that we would be the only planet that could sustain life.
Fair.
They might be years and years and light years ahead of us, right, in technology. And I think someday far, far away, in a galaxy far, far away, we will also explore other worlds. And so I think that they probably sent a group of explorers out, and they probably hit multiple places at once, and only one was reported on June the 24th. So,
well, the first thing I'll say is that we just sent a ship to the moon that cost $100 million, and it landed on its side. So I would say we're a little bit away from visiting other planets.
Right, but what if other planets were created millions of years ago, and they're way far ahead of us?
Yeah, but you said we're close to visiting other planets.
No, I didn't say close. I said someday far, far away in a galaxy far, far away.
Far, far away.
Far away.
Right, let's get one that can land on its feet.
I think it's highly possible that that could have happened.
Okay, so let's get into the investigation of this event, known as the Maury Island incident, right? So the first thing that happens, one of the first things that happened is Dahl and his boss, whose name was, I think it's Chrisman. The very first thing they did was reach out to a Chicago magazine. There was this magazine in Chicago. So, like, before calling the police, before calling anybody else, they call a magazine, all right? And they said, we want to sell our story. And the manager of the magazine is a guy named Ray Palmer. Okay, now we're going to talk a little bit about Ray Palmer. His name's going to come up later in this podcast, and it's going to come up probably a lot in future episodes of this podcast. So Ray Palmer, who's running this magazine in Chicago, he goes, I got to investigate this. So who does he call? Kenneth Arnold. He says, Kenneth Arnold just saw these UFOs. He's in Washington. Hey, Kenneth, why don't you go talk to these guys and find out what you can find out, okay? So Kenneth Arnold goes down to talk to Harold Dahl and his boss. They both, again, now this is when the date seems to change, because the date was a few days after Kenneth Arnold's sighting, but they basically say, oh no, it was a couple days before your sighting. It was June 21st. It wasn't June 27th. Okay. So they kind of, that's kind of when the date seems to have changed during that.
Hmm.
But he hadn't told anybody about the Man in Black incident. When Kenneth Arnold is talking to him, he says, by the way, the reason I've stopped talking about it is because this guy kind of told me to stop talking about it. This guy in a black suit said, don't talk about this anymore. Bad things could happen. Okay. Mm-hmm. So
how do we know that the Men in Black aren't aliens? They're like representatives from the alien force.
I mean, we may do a whole other episode about Men in Black, because that is a very popular theory. In this case, he says that it was a normal human being in a black suit that was very intimidating, right? But there have been other reports of Men in Black of almost people trying to appear human. Like, Men in Black have shown up to talk to witnesses, and people have described their skin as being doll-like, like perfectly smooth with no hair or anything. A lot of times they're reported with having no hair on their head, no eyebrows, no eyelashes. Mm. There's a report of Men in Black where they're completely white except for bright red lips, almost like they put on lipstick to try to appear human. So there are a lot of other cases later on where the Men in Black, sometimes people almost thought they were robots, like they would talk real monotone. So people don't know if they could be robots, they could be aliens, they don't know, right? But but it was a human. And so there are multiple theories. There may be multiple Men in Black working together as part of a secret government organization where some are aliens and some are human. Okay, so that's definitely a theory. In this case, he didn't mention anything saying that it looked like an otherworldly person. He just said it was a really intimidating government official. Okay. So Arnold, after the interview, he says, I know some other guys that might like to hear your story. And it turns out to be two army officials, okay, who happen to be members of the A2 Intelligence Department of the Army. So, because Arnold also tells these guys, he has some of the metal and he has some of the rocks that were found.
I was ready for you.
Oh, what did you do?
It's space rubble.
And it was found by a pilgrim.
That is the Man in Black.
Oh, I see.
And then these are
wearing these are all like, white.
These are like igneous rocks, yeah. Right? Like, we don't know where the rocks came from.
I don't know
from.
How smart they are.
Igneous.
Oh.
Anyway, that's space rubble. I was ready for you.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Okay.
So, they say you've got pieces of the metal that fell down. You got all this stuff. Yeah, guess what? The Army's kind of interested in this now.
Yeah, I bet they are.
We're going to send some guys out, okay? So they send out two officers of the Army, and they come and they interview both Dahl and Chrisman, okay? Here's the problem. These two guys, this was on July 31st, they come out and they do their interview.
Mm-hmm.
They say, we can't stay too long because we have a thing to be at tomorrow in California. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They load up the metal and some of the rock.
Just let them take it?
Some of it, sure. To take back to the Army to investigate,
that's
right?
That's a mistake, man.
It's going to get worse. They get into a B-25. By the way, they're both pilots. Okay, they get into a B-25. Four guys get on this airplane to fly it to California. And while they're flying, the plane mysteriously catches on fire and crashes, and the two investigators die. And by the way, that is true and confirmed. That's 100% true. So the plane crashed and went down with the evidence. Okay. Now, you might think that they would just let that go. Who's that?
That's the A2 guys.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, that's
Oh, wait a minute. You told me that bad things have happened.
Wait, oh, no.
They're dead. You see what I did there?
I did. I like that they're walking on tiptoes. They're tiptoeing around the incident.
No, they're wearing pointy-toed shoes.
Oh, I see. If you hold that right here, you wouldn't just block your pretty face on the podcast there. There you go.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, they died with the evidence. They took the evidence down. Now, you might think, okay, well, maybe the Army's going to investigate this plane crash going down, right? Or maybe, I mean, that's probably a big deal, right?
No, it's not.
It is a big deal. But this is the thing. Now the FBI gets involved. Because people reported seeing the plane on fire, but some people reported hearing anti-aircraft firing. So some people say that the plane was shot down.
That's what I'm saying, too.
Okay. Other people said they believe that the plane was sabotaged. So they did not want to get this UFO material back to California where it can be studied.
Okay? Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm thinking, too, is that they want it destroyed. That plane was there to destroy evidence, and that is all, right?
I mean, kill two guys?
Collateral damage.
So the FBI shows up, and they start interviewing Dahl and Crispin, okay? And they put out a report, and basically they say Dahl and Crispin are full of crap.
Yeah, because now they have no evidence.
There's no evidence. So they say, now here's one of the things they based this on. They said there were multiple things. The first one was that these two guys had contacted multiple magazines and newspapers trying to sell the story immediately. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of maybe that was the circumstantial evidence, but it kind of does point to the fact that maybe they had an ulterior motive. Okay. Another thing the FBI said is that the boat did not appear to be damaged. Even though they said, of course, what does that say?
Sabotage.
Oh. That's a Beastie Boys song, and we can't show that.
I know. Listen, I was going to sing it, but...
It's a sabotage. No one, again, we'll be fine if you sing it.
We'll be fine, probably, from a lot of people.
Right. So, basically, first of all, they said that the boat wasn't damaged. You know, they said all this enough metal fell to kill his dog and to break his kid's arm, but then when they go look at the boat, they're like, boat looks okay. There's not any damage to your boat. Plus, like I said, they called around trying to sell this story, right? But most importantly, Dahl basically says, it was a hoax. We made it up, and there was no UFOs, and there was nothing to see here, and I made all this up, and it's over.
Oh, crap.
Dahl says that. Okay.
Somebody got to his butt and either paid him off or threatened him.
Now,
bad.
Here's the thing, okay? When the FBI came and talked to them, they said, it's possible you're about to be charged with the deaths of two Army officers and a B-25, which I don't know how much a B-25 costs, but I'm guessing it's expensive. So Dahl said, listen, this was a hoax. It got out of hand. We didn't call the Army to come. We didn't do all that. You guys did that. We're not responsible for that. And so it kind of seems like there was an agreement where Dahl says, hey, this was a hoax and we won't charge you. Okay. Now the thing is later he recanted saying it was a hoax and he said, it wasn't a hoax.
On his deathbed or something?
No, just later, like maybe after the statute of limitations for paying for a B-25 bomber. You know, but he says basically it wasn't a hoax. So he does recant it. So he says he saw it, then he says it was fake, then he says it was real.
Yeah,
that's always a problem in these stories when people change their story multiple times because now you got to choose which one to believe. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like a choose your own adventure, you know. Now, again, a lot of people today studying this, they think, well, what happened must have been true because the government didn't sue Dahl and his boss for making up this story. So they say because they said if it was fake, they would sue them and expose them and make them look like liars and do all this. But then there would have to be evidence in the case. So that's why people think maybe this did happen, because that's the government wouldn't want to publicize it. Hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, it makes
sense. Okay. So anyway, about the crash was real and the crash really did happen. And what happened was on this B-25, they were flying back for a very specific event that happened on August 1st, 1947. And so there were four people on the plane. The two guys, and I do have their names. It was Captain Lee Davidson and First Lieutenant Frank Brown. So they were flying the plane and there were two guys in the back. So as they were flying from Washington to California, the engine caught fire. And so when the engine caught fire, the two guys in the back put on parachutes and jumped out. So they survived. Mm. The captain and his lieutenant were trying to bring the plane down. And the engine that was on fire essentially ripped the wing off the plane. The wing hit the rear tail and that put the plane into a spin. So they were unable to exit the aircraft before it crashed. Okay.
Right. Okay. So I'm just going to say, read the names of the two guys that were on the plane again, Davidson and Brown.
Yes.
They're not even real people, y'all.
They are 100% real people, and their names are recorded in history for a very specific reason. And I'll tell you that reason right now. The event that they were going to on August 1st, 1947 was the day that the Air Force was created. That was when the Air Force split off from the Army and became its own branch of the military. Huh. That is why they were traveling there. But what happened is they left Tacoma at night, but actually what they did was they left at like 2 a.m. on August 1st and were flying back. So those two men are the first official casualties of the Air Force.
On the first damn day.
Yeah.
All right. There we go. So this is two guys jumping out of the plane and parachutes in the back. This is the side of the fuselage right here. Yeah. Right. Here's the wing. And then the jet engine, 1947. Maybe jet engine. I don't know. On fire.
Not bad. It looks like a jelly donut at the bottom. It looks like the Sarlacc pit from Return of the Jedi a little bit.
Oh, it's like those popcorn buckets that everybody's doing.
Oh, the Dune 2 popcorn. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I shouldn't be showing that then.
Yeah, that's true. So their names are really in history. Their names are
Davidson and Brown
are recorded as the first two actual official casualties of the United States Air Force. Hmm. So this event kind of comes and goes, right? Like it goes, this is a thing. Then Kenneth Arnold, I mean, it's all in that week, but then Roswell kind of takes the wind out of it. It is remembered as one of the first, I mean, that week, right, of United States modern. It's like the birth of modern UFO lore, okay?
It's just really interesting that the Air Force was formed that week.
That day, I mean, right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, it probably, well, first of all, the Roswell thing happens, and then Roswell gets real big. And then Kenneth Arnold is known because of the name Flying Saucer. So this one kind of gets lost in the shuffle a little bit, right? Even though it's the same week as Kenneth Arnold. It probably would have been forgotten if it weren't for a book written by Gray Barker in 1956, which is called They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers.
Exactly.
That retells the story, but it puts an emphasis on the part about the man in black. It has great detail about how that happens. And so that, his characterization of the man in black, how he looked, how he dressed, the intimidation factor, trying to intimidate witnesses of UFO incidents, the black car, all of those things start right here. That is why, you know, when did the Men in Black, the movie, come out? 2000s?
Yeah.
And we have Will Smith, I think 2014 maybe. But you got Will Smith in a black suit. Trying to keep people quiet about UFO incidents, driving the black car. That it all comes from this. It all comes from this incident right here. Mm-hmm. Okay. There are. Oh, I told you I was going to follow up on. Oh, you got something?
You know what that is?
Roswell. No.
That is, so Roswell did get really big, and we've been there. It's like this amazing tourist town now, right?
Yep.
And there are these aliens all over the place, and this is one of the signs. It's like, welcome to fabulous Roswell.
They did. They had UFO-themed McDonald's. Yeah. Arby's and signs everywhere. They had UFO lampposts. It was cool. I should have thrown a Roswell picture.
Remember, they had there was this one store that we went. It was either a museum or something, and you got an admission sticker.
That was the museum.
Right. And there was an alien statue outside. And when you leave the museum, the tradition is you take your sticker off and stick it on the alien, and he's just like covered from head to toe in different colors. They're like all like luminescent colors or
right,
whatever.
Right, right.
So anyway, that's what.
Mason got a UFO driver's license here. Remember that?
Yeah, he still uses it.
It's still good.
It's official.
I told you I was going to talk about Ray Palmer.
Yeah.
So Ray Palmer was the managing editor of the magazine that they called, and this was in 1947. 2 years later, in 1949, Ray Palmer starts his own magazine called Fate Magazine. Fate Magazine is, that may not mean anything to you, but Fate Magazine is the magazine that covered paranormal events. It is the go-to magazine for UFOs, for cryptids, for Bigfoot, for all those things.
Is it still around today?
It's not around today. You can find a lot of them online that have been scanned in or whatever, but yeah, I grew up like going to garage sales looking for stacks of Fate magazines and things like that. It's not quite National Enquirer, but it presented itself as the stories being true. Oh. Which I guess the Enquirer kind of did too, but that was specifically, you know, if you wanted to read about how pyramid power worked or ESP or remote viewing or any of those things, it was going to be in Fate magazine.
I can't believe I didn't know about this.
It's a great magazine. So that's Ray Palmer, and that is his involvement in this, and that's probably those events are what put him on this path, his path as well. Okay. You've drawn Bigfoot.
It's the cover of Fate magazine.
Oh. That was a groundhog or something.
It's kind of... I was thinking Chewbacca, but it's really a Sasquatch.
See, oh, okay.
See, today's episode is Sasquatch edition.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see.
So,
yeah. So I'll just leave you with this today. There are two different camps as to what happened at Maury Island. And by the way, there are two different ways of referring to it. One group calls it the Maury Island Incident, mm-hmm. and the other, you can find it on Wikipedia, under the Maury Island Hoax.
Spell Maury.
M-A-U-R-Y.
Oh, like Maury Povich.
Yeah. Mm. So the people that believe this, they believe that this event happened, that some members of the shadow government were the people who sent the man in black to intimidate Harold. They also believe that those are the people that are responsible for downing the plane, and that all this happened, okay? The other group think that basically it was a hoax, the plane crash was an accident, and that's the end of it, okay? So that's really, you know, you can be one group or the other. I will tell you this, though. The contents of the plane were later gone through, mm-hmm. and they found things on that plane, okay? Now, the metal that was found appeared to be, what's the word, smelted?
Smolten.
Smolten from a nearby processing plant. So there's really not anything mysterious about the metal that they found on the plane, okay?
I mean, so we think that the aliens picked up the metal and they were taking it back to their...
To study.
Home.
Right, that's the theory. It's like sweet, sweet vomit.
What's concerning me is the way that it's starting to separate.
As if you had the conspiracy theory and the truth. And they're separate. You can choose whichever one. Anyway, the other thing that they found were the rocks. Remember they said they had found some rocks that had fallen that they mm-hmm. said looked like lava or something? And it was inconclusive what the rocks were. What is this?
This is the Maury incident versus hoax. And you know what these are? These are two tents. It's two different camps. See? Hey. I'm just pretending like
one of us can do the art and one can do the jokes.
Pretending like I'm a children's illustrator and giving them something nice to look at.
Well, it does look like children drew it.
Not a child illustrator.
Oh, child illustrator. Anyway, they did analyze the rocks, and it was inconclusive. They said that it could have been something like from a volcano, like magma type rock or something, but parts of it they believe may have been a meteorite. So it would have been an unusual type of rock. Again, your two camps. One group says, obviously, things. If UFOs dropping things, it would have meteorite. It would have space rocks, right? Other people think maybe they found a meteorite. It looked like a weird thing, and then they built a story around it.
Is the evidence anywhere now that you can go look at it?
I don't think so. But there is a museum dedicated to this right outside of Tacoma. And so next time we're in Seattle, we will be going. They have, in fact, the second picture that I showed you, you can see this is a, it's actually a painting. This is at that museum. So this is where that is. There's all the gathered evidence and everything like that. Yeah. Was.
Maybe we need a trip to Seattle pretty soon because you know Jimi Hendrix is buried there too. So that'd make a good little.
That's the two things you'd want to see is this UFO thing and Jimi Hendrix's
grave.
What about Kurt Cobain?
I think he's scattered someplace.
I'm not going to make a joke.
But interestingly enough, yes. They scattered him from a plane that was going over a boat.
Really? And then dropped him and then broke someone's arm.
Ah! I forgot to do the grinding. Anyway.
Yeah. So anyway, that is this week's Kooky Tale. Huh. It is the Maury Island incident.
Well,
or is it the Maury Island hoax?
That's up to you. I like to believe that it was the Maury Island incident. I like to believe more of the conspiracy theory that the government was scared to death and they sent the goons in and told them, nope, we're not going to do this. We're not going to.
You think they shut it down, huh?
They shut it down.
So.
Shut it down.
Now, we didn't do this in the last episode. I forgot to ask you. But so you think this story is kooky, spooky, or full of dookie?
I don't think it's full of dookie. I think it's kooky.
You don't think it's spooky?
No, it's not spooky.
Aliens showing up and drop stuff on it, and that's not spooky. All right.
I think the aliens did not mean to drop that stuff on those people.
So the thing is that yeah, they didn't mean to drop it on the people, but they meant to drop it because the ship was all wobbly. One of them was all wobbly, and so they dropped it because it's like they had too much. You know, they're like, picked up too much. And
so
they dropped it.
It's so stupid. Like they made it from light years away, but they haven't figured out weight and balance.
It had to be perfectly balanced. The ship had to be perfectly. And then they probably had like some, you know, new hire. So get some of that. He's like, okay, I'll pick up the.
Or, you know what? Maybe in their world, metal is a lot lighter. And so they just were like, hey, we'll throw all this in one ship. And then they started taking off, and they're like, whoa, what the heck?
It's hard to say.
Hard to say. But I think that it probably happened, especially if there's any kind of documentation that the guy who was on the boat was actually hit on June the 21st.
Yeah, there's the boat right there.
That proves it.
It's proof. He had a boat. He wasn't lying. So. All right. You got any? Let's see. We can both make a request for the next one. I will request a drink that's not going to kill me.
Oh, my God. I am actually going to have to go to the liquor store because this is going in the trash. I'm going to go take some Pepto.
Right? That was bad. I'm glad I didn't mail it to the Airstreamers.
Oh, my goodness. That's not right. Yeah. And then, let's see. So we've talked about some aliens. But, okay. So
we've done the one alien or Men in Black.
Right.
We've done some ghost stories.
All right. So here's the thing. When you and I were little kids, we went to different schools in the same school system, right?
Mm-hmm.
We both had a book that had some stuff about Uri Geller and telekinesis and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All right. That's really the last, other than watching some old Amazing Randys, right? The last thing I've seen about telekinesis and being able to bend things with your mind and all this, right? I would like a story that is more recent about people who are doing that kind of stuff with their brains, like extending the power of the brain. And what people, can you move stuff with your mind? Can you bend things with your mind? Can you influence other people's?
You want a telekinesis, a psychic, some sort of mind some power, kind of kooky tale?
Yeah.
I've got a million of them.
I want one that you think I probably haven't heard.
I'll find something. So Uri Geller's off the table.
Uri Geller, no.
All right. I'll get you hooked up.
Maybe bring in a special guest to bend some spoons. I don't know.
If they're psychic, we don't need to bring them in. They can just watch from afar. All right. Oh, I hate that. Guys, thanks for watching the show. Don't forget, you can send us email, kookytalespodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Instagram. I've been updating that. You can find us on YouTube, video version of this on YouTube, or the Apple Podcasts.
Or on Zazzle.
Zazzle. So I did get the Zazzle link from her, so I will add that to there. So if you want, what all designs do you have on Zazzle?
I've got the Dead Baby Cup. It's a jumbo cup. It's a 20-ounce mug.
Oh.
So, like, you can drink your whole coffee and for the day in one.
Maybe we should have the mugs, and then when we drink our drinks, you could show them off.
That's going to affect the budget, I'm sorry to say.
We have a zero budget right now.
Right? So, I've got a pillow. I think I have a dead baby pillow out there.
But what designs?
Dead baby?
That's the only one.
I also have Maria from last week.
Oh.
When did I put her on? Maybe the toast? A t-shirt. Oh. No, here, I think I actually, she's the one that won't erase from my book. Oh. You know, Maria.
I thought it was me.
Oh,
no. It's me and a 70-year-old woman from Spain are the same person.
Right, yeah.
And by the way, she has a fine beard.
No, this one.
Oh.
Right, Maria.
Yeah.
I think I have a t-shirt with Maria on there.
I don't know if that shows up with that color on there.
I know, yeah, I've been playing with it. But yeah. Maria is also...
Snake woman.
Permanently on my back. Wouldn't that make a fine t-shirt, everybody?
That'd be a good one.
It will definitely be a conversation starter.
And ender. Speaking of that, let's end this one.
All right, peace out.
Bye, everybody. See you next week.